Ryan, I'm going to ask you to do the most rote thing, and that is grade the entire Steelers draft class. What would you give it?
I gave it a B. I had to do that for CBS Sports today. Every single team. And I gave him a B, and I came around on him. I was trying to figure out what was going on after the first 2 days. Derek Harmon, he's going to be a good player. I had a early second-round grade on him, so that's right around the range. My concern was that I talked to a couple teams that had some injury concerns, and they thought he may fall. Mm-hmm. But I think he's exactly – my comp for him, by the way, was Keanu Benton. So he went in the second round, and if that's what you get, I get it, home run. Caleb Johnson, I had a third-round grade on him, and that's where he went. My concern with him is that he ran a 4.57, and he wasn't explosive, and he's a little upright. But here's the thing. Arthur Smith, outside zone, I'm sure you guys have had that conversation.
We've heard it,
Le'Veon
yeah.
Bell coming out ran slow, and he weighed about 20 pounds more than he did when he got to Pittsburgh, and the rest is history. So I can get behind that as well. And those two picks, I had some trepidation about what the direction was going to be. Love the Jack Sawyer pick. You tweeted this out, Pony. I was not a Black fan throughout the draft process, and the Senior Bowl wasn't very good for him. But he feels a need. He was literally the 23rd defensive lineman drafted, and when you look at the guys drafted after him, J.J. McGeese was on there. He came in for a 30 visit, but he's not an every-down defensive lineman, so I get that. Love the Will Howard pick. Love the nod to Mark Bruner with the Carson Bruner pick, who's a really good football player, by the way. So I give it a B compared to all the other draft classes, and I think I'm coming around on it.
Ryan, when I try to grade these classes, I also try to get a sense, and I know it's hard to do that if in your shoes you're, you know, doing 32 teams here, so the overall philosophy each team is trying to undertake year over year is probably tough to pin down, but I do like the fact, I gave them a B+, that there seems like there's at least a plan here, that next year is probably the quarterback year, and that it also feels like they're a little bit ahead of the curve trying to draft just bigger guys in general, because it feels like the NFL, and I want your take on this, do you think the NFL is slowly starting to move back to, we're going to line up a team full of big dudes instead of fast dudes. We're going to run the ball at your small defense that's trying to stop the pass, and we're just going to, you know, we're going to load up basically in the trenches that way, because that feels like what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to think about it. And I think part of the frustration for Steelers fans, and even me, was at pick 21, because I'd heard from a lot of folks that Shador would have been the guy there if Kenneth Grant were gone, and Kenneth Grant went 13, and when you take a step back, and I think your larger point's an important one, because in 2022, everyone and their brother felt at the time that they overdrafted Kenny Pickett, and that's what turned out to be the case. So I give them credit for standing firm, drafting from their board, and Kenny Pickett may have been the top 20 guy as far as they know a few years ago, and then getting a developmental player in Will Howard, who you know is going to be great in the locker room, who looks the part physically, and then trying to get through this season with whoever the quarterback ends up being, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or whoever else might be up for that job. And that's okay. We've seen this team win 8 or 9 games with everybody playing quarterback, good or bad. So I think it makes sense to build around the quarterback. So when you do get that quarterback, you're now in position to move forward. And I think that's a pretty good way to look at it.
Ryan, you said you love the Will Howard pick. Tell our listeners why.
I think he got the improvement he made over the course of the season. Forget it. Coming from Kansas State. First half of the season, Ohio State fans were wondering why Kyle McCord wasn't still there. He was playing at a different level of Syracuse. And then the final 5 or 6 games, Will Howard was a huge part of their reason that team went as far as they did, won the national title. The Michigan game was a hiccup for everyone involved. And then the final month of the season throughout the playoffs, Will Howard played at a high level. I was at that pro day, 6'4", 236. He can run. He's physical. He has a big arm. He rarely gets hurt. And that's why Quinn Ewers lasts until the 7th round. That's why Shedeur Sanders went in the 5th round, because of the physical tools. He didn't look like Josh Allen getting off the bus. Will Howard looks like Josh Allen getting off the bus. Now, is he Josh Allen? No. But if you're getting this guy in the 6th round, I don't even think it's up for debate. I would have been okay with Kyle McCord, because I'm a Kyle McCord guy, but he also went in the 6th round a few picks before. And now you have a developmental guy with zero pressure on him, and he's not in the spotlight. He'll have an opportunity to perhaps learn from one of the best ever if Aaron Rodgers arrives. If not, he'll be battling for a job. I think it's best case scenario.
This is always the thing, though, that I try to stop myself. If I like, especially like a day 3 pick, Ryan, if I think, man, that seems like a really good pick, you know, I like X, Y, or Z about the player, I always try to ask then why was he available? And so with a guy like Howard, who has that size and does have, not Allen's athletic ability, but he's a good athlete, so, you know, good arm, above average arm, why was he there at pick 185?
Because it took them until the final month of the season to figure out what an NFL quarterback looks like. And, you know, and that's the reality. And we could have this conversation about a lot of guys, including Tyler Shuck, by the way, who played literally seven NFL seasons, started 1 year, and that was this last year. There's not a huge separation for me from Shuck and Jack and Will Howard, excuse me. I thought they both were probably late day two, early day three guys. We'll find out together. But there just wasn't the consistency there. And, you know, if Kyle McCord had played above the line at all, he'd still would have been Ohio State, and maybe Will Howard would have been somewhere else. You never would have seen that. But sometimes, and the other thing about these guys being older is that you finally get to see them develop into who they are, because once you get to the NFL, we always talk about, well, they'll get coaching. They may, or they may not get practice reps at all, and then we just never figure it out. So that's a great – I mean, that's important to keep in mind. There's a reason these guys get drafted where they do get drafted, and sometimes we overvalue who they are, and I think there's an opportunity for Will Howard to prove people wrong, but the expectations are so exceedingly low, the sixth round makes seems about – you know, it seems like great value.
What is the best explanation Ryan Wilson has heard for why Shedeur Sanders lasted until the fifth round?
I saw someone say this today. I can't remember who, and I apologize, but this encapsulates it perfectly because I was sort of beating around the bush to get to this point. He treated the pre-draft process like he was on a recruiting visit and not on a job interview. And I talked to a couple teams that were blown away at the way the interview went in terms of – not that it was a – well, it wasn't a great interview, but the – approach he took to how he was going to, you know, go into that interview. And, you know, I would imagine if you, this is what I said, if he had approached that interview, the pre-draft process, like Dillon Gabriel did, he would have been a top 10 pick. And you can argue about the physical, lack of physical traits all you want. Bryce Young went first overall. Bryce Young is incredibly smart. He said all the right things in the interview. We saw how he played on the field. You can't go into the interview process with a chip on your shoulder and not needing the folks you're talking to want to hire you, because that's not going to work typically at any level unless your dad owns the business. So I think that's the biggest thing. And I said this at the time, it's probably in his best interest to have this happen now as opposed to 2 or 3 years from now. And it feels like he's contrite and he said all the right things and hopefully he'll battle for the job. So we'll find out together, but that's what I heard in terms of why he lasted until pick 144.
What do you make of the sentiment that he really needed to hire an agent because he needed somebody in his camp who was going to shoot him straight about how he was viewed around the league, how he needed to approach the interview process? Because he seems like a smart guy who just maybe is around his dad telling him, like, you're good, you're going to be a top whatever pick, because he's talking to his buddies and not talking to actual decision makers.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's his dad that was, you know, dad obviously pumped him up and like everyone does for their kids, but I think having an agent would have been a game changer. And I said at the time on day two, I said if he had a time machine, I would imagine he would go back and do it all over again and do it completely differently. And you need someone, and if you're hiring an agent, you want them to tell you straight. And a lot of times when you talk to agents, they're like, yeah, these kids don't want to hear that, but sometimes that's what they need to hear. And instead of finding out in real time, you're sort of prepared. I know that Dillon Gabriel had heard that he may not get drafted. I'm sure he was prepared for that. So it was a pleasant surprise, and he went at the bottom of the third round. Yeah, we can talk all we want about agents doing right or wrong by these kids, but you need someone to not be a yes person in your camp if that was the case, because clearly you went, 134 picks later than probably you thought you were going to.
We've heard Brian Baldinger, Charles Davis, and Nick Saban, three guys who I respect a lot, compare Caleb Johnson to Najee Harris. Did you see that when you watched the Iowa running back on tape, Ryan?
I had Najee as a late first rounder, and like I said, I had Caleb as a mid-third rounder. He wasn't as explosive as Najee. He's more of a slasher, though. He's a one-cut-and-go guy. And look, the 4.57 at the end of the day doesn't matter when you're a running back. In the open field, he ran. No one caught him when he got in the open field. He just wasn't as sudden as some of the other running backs in this class, and that's okay. Arthur Smith isn't necessarily looking for, well, he is looking for Jahmyr Gibbs, we all are, but in the third round, he fits the scheme that Arthur wants to run, and I think that's going to be fine. And like I said, if you get 65% of Le'Veon Bell, this feels like a fantastic pick, but he is not going to be for everyone. Runs a little too upright at times, but, you know, get your pads lower and knock guys down, and we saw that at Iowa. I wouldn't put him in the same conversation as Najee. I think we like to rewrite history. Same with Mac Jones, his teammate, once they get into the league and aren't quite as effective as perhaps we thought they were going to be.
Ryan, you know that this is a savvy fan base, a bunch of true draft sickos here, and that's why I say this to you now. We got a YouTube commenter watching us live on YouTube said, please ask Ryan about all the undrafted free agent signees. I'll ask you that.
Oh, my God, this guy is a sicko.
I'll ask you that by starting and with asking you to say what you can tell us about DJ Thomas Jones, who got this record non-quarterback UDFA $30,000 signing bonus?
I have not watched him, but I will. But I did watch Rock Taylor. I think he still one of the guys?
Memphis receiver, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, 6'1", 213, ran a 4.49, big target possession receiver who's a little stiff in and out of intermediate breaks. I also watched...
They got Sebastian Castro. Yes, yeah. The safety from Iowa.
Yeah, let's see what I have for Castro real quick. This is real-time scouting here. Talk about linebackers running around blocks. This kid ain't running around anything. Consistently takes good angles to the ball coming downhill. Could he move to tight end? Question mark. My comp for him was Talanoa Hufanga, 5'11", 203.
Damn.
Ran a 4.59. He's 24 and a half. I don't care about any of that stuff. He feels like a middle-of-the-field thumper. So there you go. Look at this.
Yeah, last one we'll do here, Ryan, is Mel Kiper obviously is in the crosshairs, but he went on Schefter's podcast and said, in his opinion right now, early favorite to be the top pick in next year's draft is Penn State's Drew Aller, because he thinks Arch Manning is going back to school. In your very, very, very preliminary homework on next year's draft, do you think right now Aller is going to be the best quarterback who comes out?
Physically, he checks all the boxes. I do think that Arch is going to go back to school from what I've heard as well. But I'm leaning towards Garrett Nussmeier. I had like a day two grade on him in the fall before he'd announced this coming back. Had a strong start to the season for LSU. And then he got a little careless with the football, trying to do too much. Coach's son, he can spin it, throws with anticipation. I need to see more of that from Drew because, again, he looks like Josh Allen getting off the bus. But if you're telling me that Drew Allen's a top 10 pick in 12 months, I wouldn't push back too hard on that.
Very quickly, Ryan, Lenoris Sellers, is he just a tier below those guys, or do you think he's going back to school for one more year after next season?
We'll see about the going back to school part, but every SEC edge rusher I talked to at the combine asked him who was the toughest space. They said Lenoris Sellers. He's a little smaller, but they called him Baby Cam Newton, so I think he has a chance to be truly special.
Ryan, thank you so much. Check him out, CBSSports.com. You can also get his podcast on the Odyssey app. What's it called again, Ryan?
With the First Pick with Titans GM Rand Carthon.
Nice. I've listened to it, and I love it. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys.